Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The WEEI Sports Radio Network. You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Welcome in, Brian Barrett with you up until midnight. The number is 617-779-7937. This hour is brought to you by Eagle Bank. We're just talking about Chris Sims and his ridiculous list of the top 40 quarterbacks in the NFL. He's got Cam Newton at 10, Tom Brady at 15, and Drew Brees at 16. Nobody assigned Cam Newton. He's coming off a serious foot procedure. Nobody signed the guy, yet somehow he's ahead of Tom Brady and Drew Brees. By the way, we got a text in from the 808. Chris Sims knows that hot takes always get attention. And I guess I bought into it. I guess I took the bait because this is absolutely ridiculous. Even for somebody that believes Tom Brady's going to have a down year, and I truly believe he's going to struggle in the second half of the season, even for me, who's lower on Tom Brady than most, I don't feel like it was any sort of mistake that Bill Belichick let him go. But even for me, this list, the guys in front of Tom Brady, it's laughable. It is absolutely laughable to look at some of the names on the list. Carson Wentz, the guy can't finish a season. Past 3 years has not been on the football field. Doesn't durability factor in at some point? Don't you have to factor in? Well, Tom Brady on the field is pretty important because Carson Wentz is never on the damn field. That's pretty important, right? 617-779-7937 is the number. If you want to weigh in on that, certainly welcome to do so. But I did want to get to this back and forth between Kendrick Perkins, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant. So just to kind of summarize what has happened over the past few weeks. Remember about a week ago tonight. Yeah, exactly a week ago tonight. There was the report that from Shams Charania, Kyrie Irving, about the bubble in Orlando. Kyrie says, quote, "I don't support going into Orlando. I'm not with the systematic racism and the BS. Something smells fishy. Whether we want to admit it or not, we are targeted as black men every day when we wake up." Now, Perk responded to Kyrie Irving on ESPN Radio. He said, this is the same guy 10 days ago that came out and said that he wanted to join the team and be in Orlando around the team. The agreement was that inactive players like Kyrie couldn't go because there was only a certain amount of people in the bubble. What changed over the past 9 to 10 days, Perk asked. What changed was, from what I strongly believe and what I heard, is the NBA and the Players Association told Kyrie that, no, you can't go. How can a guy's mindset change in 10 days? George Floyd was murdered on the 25th of May. They started protesting the next day. They started rioting the next 2 days. Kyrie's mindset just 10 days ago was that he wanted to go to Orlando. What changed since then? What changed? They told him he couldn't go. So essentially what Perk was saying is Kyrie Irving last week was trying to tell players not to go to the Orlando bubble because of systematic racism, etc. But what Perk's saying is, well, a week ago he wanted to go. And if you remember going back to Adrian Wojnarowski's article on that Friday night, a week ago today, Woj put on his article that when the National Basketball Players Association conducted a conference call and to vote on restarting the season a week ago, Brooklyn Nets star Kyrie Irving was an active participant. Although his questions were mundane in nature, sources say Irving asked, as an injured player, if he would count among the Nets' allotted 35 people should he want to join the team. Could he sit in the stands to cheer on his teammates? Could he use a sauna for rehab? He had questions about NBA sponsors on the campus and whether they would be supplying players with products. A union official asked him for an example, and Irving mentioned a popular adult beverage before insisting that he had indeed simply shared an example. So Perks pointing out the fact that, and this is from Woj's article, but Perks also pointing out that Kyrie went from asking basically what alcohol is going to be there, am I going to have availability to a sauna, to wanting to go, as Perk lays out, and it appeared Kyrie Irving, as recently as a week and a half ago, wanted to go to the Orlando bubble. Now all of a sudden he doesn't want to go, and he's talking about how it basically is a situation where it's systematic racism for them to all be in a bubble. And then how about this from Woj's story a week ago? It surprised several of his NBA PA colleagues that Irving, lost to the season with a shoulder surgery in March, was simultaneously leading his voice to a different discussion with rank-and-file union members on upending the league's plans for a 22-team restart. Irving is expected to be a significant voice on the call that they had, and of course he was, and that's where we got the information from Shams Charania. But from Woj's article last week that also came out, Irving's stance has pitted himself against the league's establishment one more time, including his former Cavs teammate LeBron James. There is significant support to resume the season among league superstars, most of whom are on playoff contenders, and Irving seems to be relishing the clash. So Perk is relaying what a lot of the players, and in particular the superstars, and I'm sure Perk talked to LeBron because they're buddies, that he's getting information from LeBron about, hey, most of us want to play, and Kyrie's just trying to disturb that, right? So that's kind of what Perkins was laying out. Now, he told CBS Sports Radio that no one's listening to Kyrie. The NBA is going to continue. All he's doing is causing unnecessary drama between the NBA brothers that we don't need right now. Then Perk went on ESPN's Get Up earlier in the week, and he made the comment that has now become famous. He says, if you take Kyrie Irving's brain and put it in a bird, guess what that bird's going to do? It's going to fly backwards because Kyrie right now is confused. Now, he did apologize for that comment today on ESPN First Take, saying he talked to Wilson Chandler and he went over the line with that comment about Kyrie Irving. But he was making a point that Kyrie Irving is stirring up drama with the players. But then Kevin Durant came to Kyrie Irving's defense with all the stuff that Perk was saying about Kyrie. Kevin Durant, on his Instagram account, he called Perk a, quote, sellout, and then he retweeted a video of Perk airballing a shot. Cheap shot, right? So anyway, Perk today responded to Kevin Durant calling him a sellout on First Take.
KD, my brother, just because I don't agree with what Kyrie got going on, don't mean I'm not fighting the same fight that you all are fighting. I am fighting for African Americans. I've been have, and that don't make you a sellout. That don't make me a sellout because I have a different opinion or disagree with someone else that's going about it another way. I actually applaud anybody that's fighting a fight right now in America. So that's the first thing first. Second of all, listen here. You don't know what I'm going through right now in my personal life fighting a fight. I live in a million-dollar community. I'm fighting a fight every day in my own community. I'm the only African-American family that live in this community, and my wife and I have to fight a fight with our home association and neighbors every day through email, so much that we're not even comfortable with having our kids go outside without supervision. You don't know what I'm going through for us fighting the fight when I have to drive my oldest son to middle school to go to his workouts, and I pull up, and there's 70 kids out there, and there's only two African-Americans, and he's one of them, and I got to stay out there to make sure he okay, because just 4 days ago, they 2 miles away from my house, they found the African-American teenager hung dead at an elementary school.
Wow. So that was Kendrick Perkins on First Take today. Brian Barrett with you up until midnight. The number is 617-779-7937. Unbelievable. And if you watch the video today, and you can hear it in his voice right there, after he talked for about 2 minutes about this, and Kellerman and Stephen A. Smith weighed in, he was basically crying on the air. I felt awful for Perk, and unfortunately, to hear what he's going through right now, where he doesn't feel safe bringing his kid to school. He doesn't feel safe, or he feels like he has to stay there to watch his kid. He doesn't feel like it's safe for his kids to go outside. I feel awful for Kendrick Perkins right now. But when Kevin Durant comes out and he calls him a sellout on social media, I just thought it was completely unfair of Kevin Durant to do that. Now, I do understand that Kevin Durant essentially wants to protect his teammate Kyrie Irving and stick up for his teammate Kyrie Irving. But Perk is not the only guy that's saying things about Kyrie Irving. And Perk's not the only guy in the league or that's connected to the league that is saying that Kyrie Irving is essentially trying to be somewhat of a disruptor in the talks between the Players Association and the NBAPA, right? So, or the Players Association and the league. So when I look at it from that perspective, I just felt bad for Perk that basically Durant's labeling him as a sellout on social media and Perkins is saying, listen to what I go through every day. So just because I don't agree, and the point he was laying out there is just because I don't agree with Kyrie Irving doesn't mean that I'm not doing things for the Black Lives Matters movement, for social injustice. Just because I don't agree with Kyrie's stance that Kyrie basically doesn't think they should go to Orlando. Perk said, I think we should go to Orlando. And a lot of other players in the league feel the same way. Austin Rivers made that social media post last week where he basically said that this would actually help in terms of the Black Lives Matter movement. Because what they can do with this money, that if you don't play, you don't get the money. With the money, you can put that into your communities to help the cause even more. And a lot of the other players in the league feel the same way. Garrett Temple had very similar comments to Austin Rivers. And then you had essentially the reporting from Adrian Wojnarowski that most of the NBA superstars, they want to play. So just because Kendrick Perkins disagrees with Kyrie Irving, it doesn't make him a sellout. And you also look at the credibility of Kyrie Irving because of the fact that Perkins was pointing it out. He talks to a lot of players in the league, including the most important player in the league, LeBron James, on a regular basis. Him and LeBron are really good friends. Really good friends. They've known each other since they were in high school. They played in the same McDonald's All-American game together. So they're really good friends. So he's obviously talking to LeBron James here. And a lot of the superstars in the league feel like Kyrie Irving was doing something just to disrupt things. Perk pointed out that he felt that Kyrie Irving was doing this because of the fact that Kyrie Irving was not going to be able to go to play. So I just felt bad for Kendrick Perkins today that you had Kevin Durant calling him a sellout just because he disagreed with Kyrie Irving. Now, it should be pointed out that Perk and Kevin Durant have a history going back a couple of years. Now, they used to be really good friends. They played on the Thunder together. But since then, the relationship has frayed, so to speak. Kevin Durant took a shot at Perk. Perk took a shot at Kevin Durant. I'll get into some of the particulars with that in terms of how they've gone back and forth over the past 2 years on social media. But I just thought that was incredibly unfair of Kevin Durant to label Kendrick Perkins as a sellout. And you could tell Kendrick Perkins on the air today how hurt he was that one of his former good friends would make a comment like that on social media, especially considering Kevin Durant is one of the most famous basketball players in the world, probably the second most famous after LeBron James. And he has a large following on his Instagram account. And for him to call Kendrick Perkins a sellout, it's just unfair to Perk. And it's going to be incredibly, incredibly painful for Perk. And you heard him today and you saw him in that video almost crying because he felt like Kevin Durant was completely portraying him as something that he's not, which I just felt like, what a cheap shot by Kevin Durant. Whatever you have going on in your personal life with Kendrick Perkins, that just felt completely unfair. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Damian. He's in Lawrence. What's up, Damian?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, I agree with KD, Kevin Durant. Kevin Perkins is a sellout because all of them are. I think if you speak up right now about somebody, you're disagreeing with somebody in the media or whatever, and you got their phone numbers, pick up the phone and give them a call. If you don't agree with Kyrie Irving, pick up the phone and give Kyrie Irving a call and say, look, this is because you were just sitting here and say that.
Well, he did, Damian, he did say that he'd talk to any of these guys. He said, reach out to me. You have my number. He did say that. And he talked to Wilson Chandler of the Nets because Wilson Chandler said the one thing that he upset him with is when he said that comment about Kyrie Irving with the bird comment where he said, if you put Kyrie Irving's brain in a bird, it'd fly backwards. Yeah. So he did apologize for that. And he said, if anybody wants to talk about it, I will. And he talked to, remember, Dwight Howard is one of the guys that is with Kyrie Irving in terms of he doesn't think they should play right now. He had a hour and a half conversation with Dwight Howard, and he pointed out that the conversation with Dwight Howard went really well. And even though he disagrees with Dwight Howard in terms of he thinks that they should play, he said they had a cordial conversation. Dwight understood his side and Perk understood Dwight's side.
Yeah, but you have to see this from the the other side, like they say, like from the street side or mm-hmm. something. This is how we have to see, because you know they all know each other, like you said. Yeah, he talked to all those people except Kyrie Irving. You know what I mean? So yeah, okay, Kyrie Irving switched his mind. Like everybody, you saying some people want to play, so they could help the community. Mm-hmm. Last year there was basketball. They didn't help no community. You know what I mean? Like they're not putting, what are they putting their money into as far as now? What's going to make the difference now if they play now? What they're going to do with their money now as far as last year, that when they were making millions of dollars that they could have helped their communities and make all these commercials, you see? So I understand what Kyrie Irving is talking about as far as Perkins being a sellout, because that's like that Republican guy, not to make this political or nothing, but the Republican guy, the one that all of a sudden they put him out there and, I'm the one that came up with police reform, and I think this, you know what I mean? Like, no, Perkins, just sit back, call him, talk to him, and then if you don't agree, then do it. So I feel bad of Perkins, but that's everyday life that regular people go through. And that Perkins is going through everyday life. And he lives in a $1 million neighborhood, and that's a shame. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
On the same time, Kevin Durant, you know, I agree with him. You know what I mean? Kevin Perkins and even Charles Barkley, like you guys said, he gets a pass. He don't get a pass. He don't care. You know what I mean? He don't get a pass. It's just that we feel like you guys got to stop parading, stop fighting against amongst each other, get together. And because I want to know what they're going to do with their money this year, now with the movement is happening. Then last
year, well, Damian, and I think that's part of the holdup, too, in terms of the NBA, the Players Association, and the Board of Governors in the league, is part of what they're trying to do is come up with an idea. What the Players Association now is they're trying to say to the Board of Governors, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with the money that we're bringing in? You say that you're going to help out with some of the causes that we're putting out there. Tell us exactly what you're going to do before we restart this season. I think that's a good thing that the Players Association is trying to do.
Yeah, that's good, because look, right here in our own city, in Boston, you know what I mean? In Boston, Mass, we have we have problems in our own inner city that the Celtics, they should be out here helping out. If that's how really you're going to help the community, just go out there and help actually put the money into the community. Don't go and say, oh, I gave $1 million to Joe Schmo. Mm-hmm. Kind of find out Joe Schmo is driving a Bentley. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I see what you're saying, Damon.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah,
I appreciate
man.
It. I know you got other callers.
Anytime.
But don't be too bad on Tarantula. He's not the second best. He's the first best. LeBron's
Whoa!
Worn out,
I don't know about LeBron's that. Hey, that's a hot take. Yeah, appreciate the call, man. His line's open at 617-779-7937. I don't know about that. Durant's still going to prove he can play after coming off that injury. I will say this. When Durant went down with his injury, he was the best player in the world. When he went down last year, he was the best player in the world. But I do understand where Damian's coming from, where he's saying, okay, you have all these teams, essentially, to paraphrase what he's saying, you have all these teams that are coming out and say, hey, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, or Black Lives Matter, they're just tweeting that out, right? What are you actually going to do? Are you actually going to be out in the community? I totally understand where he's coming from with that. Although I will say, a guy like Jaylen Brown within the Celtics community has done a whole lot of stuff. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Jeremy. He's in a car. What's up, Jeremy?
Hey, how's it going tonight?
Good.
So I've been with the NBA players, like you were saying, that they really do feel that many of the superstars want to get going and want to actually play.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel for any of these sports, that's basically what's going to have to happen for them to really start playing, is that the players have to want to play.
Right.
And not any of these have to argue with ownership or anyone else saying, look, if we want to play, we have to deal with this virus and the things around it, and accept the fact that we're going to have to be like the other teams, like today, that said that certain players or people got exposed to it. Everyone's going to get exposed to it, but if the players really want to play, I think that's really the only way they're going to push forward to get things playing.
Yeah, and Jeremy, I think today was a really scary day in particular for players in the NBA, players in the NHL, players in the NFL, and college sports. You're talking about Clemson, 23 players tested positive for the coronavirus. And on the PGA Tour, you had a player test positive. The Blue Jays and the Phillies shut down their spring training facilities temporarily. So if you're a player, I mean, this is awfully scary, especially considering, and I understand that it doesn't affect 20-year-olds for the most part like it affects older people in this country, but you have to think to yourself, if you're a player, I'm going to be away from my family for 5 weeks. I can't basically go out. I got to wait at least 5 weeks to have my family come in. That's an awfully big sacrifice. And I thought a couple of weeks ago we were in a really good spot where, okay, we're going to get sports back underway. But today, after all this stuff comes out, I'm awfully pessimistic. I believe the NBA and the NHL have it right with the hub cities and the bubble. But even that right now is going to be difficult to pull off.
I agree. They're going to have to do a bubble style of play for any of these sports, even right. The NFL, in my opinion.
Well, hey, Jeremy, how about this? Yeah. You're in the NFL, right? And you're trying to keep kind of the positions separated. The entire receivers room tests positive for the coronavirus. What do you do when you have to play on Sunday? You know?
Well, the thing is that if they test positive, are they immediately pulled, or do they have to be actually sick? If they're asymptomatic, and you're like, we're washing everything, we're doing everything possible. Well, yeah, if you have a whole wide receivers crew get tested positive, and they're like, you can't play them. Well, then either you got to go, well, we're going to forfeit the game, or we're going to have to pull in a guy off the street X and put a jersey on him, or, hey, we're going to run the wishbone all game. So.
Yeah, I know. You're right. I appreciate the call, Jeremy. If you want to grab his line, you can. It's 617-779-7937. That's maybe what you have to do. Hey, we got no receivers. Wishbone. Let's go to the wishbone. We're in a position right now where I felt a couple of weeks ago really good about the NHL and the NBA, but now I'm not as optimistic about this happening. What happens in the NBA if Paul George gets the coronavirus and then somebody else on the Clippers gets it, say Patrick Beverley? How can you play a playoff series when you don't have Paul George, you don't have Patrick Beverley? I just feel like it's going to be awfully difficult for any of these sports to pull this off. The number is 617-779-7937. If you want to weigh in on how the coronavirus has impacted the sports world, especially today, everything that's happened today, and also the beef between Kevin Durant and Kendrick Perkins, I want to get back to how this kind of presented itself today. Plus, these two have had a history for a number of years now. I'll get into some of the particulars with that. We'll get you trending in just a second here on WEI.
Drive home with OMF, weekday afternoons 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEI.
Here's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com. Major League Baseball has informed the Players Association it'll not make a counteroffer to the union's 70-game proposal. The owners had previously offered a 60-game schedule. The Players Association released a statement saying, quote, MLB has informed the association that it will not respond to our last proposal and will not play more than 60 games. Our executive board will convene in the near future to determine next steps. Importantly, players remain committed to getting back to work as soon as possible. I don't really know if I believe that. Nonetheless, rough day in the sports world with the coronavirus. The Phillies are closing their spring training facility after 5 players and 3 staff members tested positive. ESPN's Jeff Passan reports the Blue Jays also closed down their spring training facility after a player showed coronavirus symptoms. The New York Post, Joel Sherman reporting Major League Baseball is strongly considering closing all 30 camps again to cleanse and reestablish a system in which players will test regularly when they return. Nick Watney became the first player on the PGA Tour to test positive for COVID-19. He withdrew from the RBC Heritage before his Friday afternoon tee time. Watney did play on Thursday. The NHL released a statement saying a total of 11 players have tested positive for the coronavirus. The Lightning had 3 players and additional staff members test positive. Tampa decided to close down its facilities. The Toronto Sun reports Maple Leaf star Austin Matthews has tested positive for COVID-19. That's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Right now, and I'm going to issue an apology to Kyrie Irving for making the statement on the Get Up about saying the bird statement and about putting his brain in the bird and they'll fly backwards. So to Kyrie, I apologize for making that statement about you, my brother. Last night, Dwight Howard, we had an hour and a half conversation on the phone, and we talked it out. I understand where he's coming from, and he understands where I'm coming from. At the end of the day, we all fighting the same fight. We just got to come together and figure out a solution, a wise, strategic solution to the problem, and not be divided, period.
All right, that was Kendrick Perkins this morning on First Take responding to Kevin Durant, who on social media called him a sellout. The number 617-779-7937. And the reason Durant called Perkins a sellout is because Perkins basically this week has been going after Kyrie Irving. He did apologize for the bird comment where he said if you put Kyrie's brain in a bird, it would fly backwards. But Kendrick Perkins also pointed out this week that essentially the reason that Kyrie Irving has now taken a different side in terms of going to the Orlando bubble is because he was told that he was not going to be able to go. So Perkins is saying all this stuff that Kyrie Irving is doing, some of it has to do with the fact that he was not going to be allowed in the bubble. And the other thing that Perkins points out is what changed for Kyrie Irving in a week. Because a week before last Friday, where Kyrie Irving came out with the comments that he thought it was systematic racism to have the NBA players go to the Orlando bubble, and there was also the reporting that Kyrie at some point wanted to make his own league, essentially saying we don't need the Board of Governors to make our own league. But a week before, Kyrie Irving said we shouldn't go to the bubble. He was asking questions on a player's call, essentially saying what alcoholic beverage is going to be available, am I going to have a sauna available, and those type of questions. So it appeared he wanted to go. You have Adrian Wojnarowski reporting from ESPN that with Kyrie Irving, a lot of the NBA superstars around the league actually believe that Kyrie Irving was just disrupting things to disrupt things. Now, I understand what Kyrie Irving's trying to do when he wants to bring awareness to social injustice, etc. But for Kevin Durant to then come out on social media and call Kendrick Perkins a sellout because he doesn't agree with Kyrie Irving, that's just a little over the top to me. So then essentially what Kevin Durant is doing is you're saying everybody that agrees with Perk is now a sellout as well because most of the other superstars around the league but want to play. Austin Rivers put on his own social media account that he believes it'd be better for them to play. They can bring more awareness to the Black Lives Matter movement, not to mention the fact that they can use the money they make because if they don't play, they don't get the money to put into the community. So Austin Rivers is saying this can actually be beneficial. Not to mention the fact that most of the players in the league, as Austin Rivers pointed out, don't make $31 million per year like Kyrie Irving does. Some of these guys need these paychecks. Not everybody in the NBA is making $31 million per season. They have a short amount of time to make a certain amount of money, and they want to make sure they can make that money. And the other thing that the Players Association risks is $1.2 billion in salary. Remember, the players have already lost $300 million. That's gone. That is gone. They're never getting that back. They risk losing another $1.2 billion. And the point that Kendrick Perkins was trying to make earlier in the week, this is not good for the Players Association to miss out on this $1.2 billion. It's not good for the future of the sport. And Perk, as a lot of other players in the NBA, they feel like it'd be more impactful for them to actually play if they want to bring more awareness to the movement. And I think part of this, too, is sometimes you have to look at the messenger. Sometimes the messenger is important. You understand the message that Kyrie Irving's putting out there, but sometimes the messenger is important. When a guy constantly flip-flops like Kyrie Irving does, including from a week ago, thinking totally different than he did this week, that's an issue. When you have a guy like Kyrie Irving, who's the messenger here, that's a problem. That's a problem when Kyrie Irving continually flip-flops. He has a history of flip-flopping. It's a problem when Adrian Wojnarowski, the best reporter in the history of the NBA, is reporting that superstars want to return and they feel like Kyrie Irving is just disrupting things. That's an issue in the league. And if the most powerful voice in the league agreed with Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, which obviously he doesn't, he would have said something. So clearly LeBron James doesn't agree with Kyrie Irving. And clearly LeBron's on the side where he thinks that Kyrie Irving is just disrupting things. But to call Kendrick Perkins a sellout is just incredibly unfair. And what Perk said there is, I had a conversation with Dwight. Dwight Howard's another player that doesn't want to go to the Orlando bubble. He's with Kyrie Irving in this. But Dwight Howard had a conversation with Kendrick Perkins, and he said he understood Dwight's side. Dwight understood his side, and they're fine. Just because you disagree on something doesn't mean you're a sellout in the sense of Kendrick Perkins, and that's the point that he was making. Now, Perk and Durant do have a history, so that should be mentioned here. Okay, I don't think that can go without being mentioned, because in the finals a couple of years ago when Perk was basically on the Cavs but he didn't play, he went into the media room and flipped off Kevin Durant, and Durant swore back at him under his breath. He didn't actually say it on the microphone, but he mouthed it. And then, remember, Perk this year tweeted, Russell Westbrook is the best player to have ever put on an Oklahoma City Thunder jersey, which Perk's wrong about that. To ever put on, obviously, Durant's the best player ever for the Thunder. You can say Westbrook's more important to the franchise because he stayed great, but he's not the best player to ever wear a Thunder jersey. Perk continued, KD lost in the second round without Russ when I was there, so what that mean? Durant then responded, yeah, and our starting center at Kendrick Perkins averaged a whopping 2-3 during that series. You play hard, though, champ. Perk responds, stop, you did the weakest move in NBA history, up on a team 3-1 in the Western Conference Finals, then go join them the following season. Heart of the champion right there. Durant said, weak as a starting center, playing real minutes with no production, should have worked on your skills as much as I did. Perk, you don't even feel like a real champ. You've had a hard time sleeping at night, huh? Knowing you took the coward way out. So, and Perk did apologize after Kobe Bryant died, saying, essentially, I love you. And he said today to Kevin Durant, I love you on national television. So clearly Durant or Perk is still trying to put an olive branch out there for Kevin Durant. But clearly Durant just does not like Perkins anymore. And the original point that Perk was making, that Durant is the best player ever to put, or that Westbrook's the best player ever to wear a Thunder jersey, that's ridiculous. Obviously, it's Kevin Durant. Obviously, there's no doubt about that. Kevin Durant's the second best player of his generation. It's not even remotely debatable who's better between Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. So just to point out the fact that there is significant drama that's been going on between these two guys for a number of years now. So that's part of the reason this gets to this level. But when he's called Kendrick Perkins a sellout, you could tell that Perk felt like he completely crossed the line. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Tony. He's in Providence. What's up, Tony?
How's it going? Yeah, this doesn't sound too good for sports. Coming back, I'm going to need you guys. It sounded really bad. I mean, I'm hoping football, but I thought basketball and hockey would be back before baseball. You know? I thought for
yeah.
sure. Hockey would, they seem like they have a plan, right? And then the commission had a press conference recently. I figured hockey would be back, maybe basketball. But baseball, it's about greed and the owners fighting and counter-offers and 60 games, 50 games. Mm-hmm. Baseball is very risky, buddy, because they might not come back. I mean, football's number one right now, ratings-wise. We know that. And baseball, people are going to lose interest.
Yeah, Tony, I believe it's a real bad look for both the players and the owners right now, because that casual fan, now you're going to have the diehards. You're going to have the guy that is 65 that's always been watching baseball. He's going to come back and watch your sport, but I feel like what baseball is risking is that casual sports fan that they've been trying to get back. This is going to throw people off, considering the situation that people are living in this country right now with a global pandemic. People are losing their jobs every day. They're not going to be wanting to watch where these people have been arguing over millions and billions of dollars. They're not going to want to watch.
Right. And you're right.
Hey, appreciate the call, Tony. His line's open if you want to grab it at 617-779-7937. Just from a PR standpoint, whether we're on the player's side or the owner's side, and I personally agree more with the players than I do with the owners, but either way, it's a really bad look. When we're dealing with a global pandemic, just from a PR perspective, it doesn't look good for either side right now. It really doesn't. It looks poor. It looks bad. It looks really, really bad. Let's get to KJ. He's in Vermont. What's up, KJ?
Hey, Brian. How you doing?
Good, man.
I called to talk about the Chris Sims pathetic list, but first off, I got to say, KD is one to talk about being a sellout, okay? When he went to Golden State, that was, besides LeBron going to Miami, one of the biggest sellout moves ever. You know, he took him to a Game 7 in the Western Conference Finals. You know, Westbrook was just in his groove. And who knows what would have happened next year if he stayed in OKC.
Yeah, or so you know what, KJ? If he went to a different team than the Warriors. If he went to, say, remember one of the teams that was recruiting him and Tom Brady was involved in the pitch. If he went to the Celtics, it would have been totally different him winning a championship with a different team. Or if he went to the Miami Heat after LeBron had obviously been gone from there. But I understand where you're coming from. Is you go to a team that won 73 games that you just played and joining them, obviously your championships, they're not going to feel as real as they do for other people. And I felt like Durant at that time, he felt like he was going to get the same treatment LeBron did when LeBron won his first two championships. But it's almost as like, no, you took the shortcut to win titles.
Yeah, he's never gotten the respect he feels he's deserved because it was just a sellout move. He did.
Yeah, and ever since then, KJ, it's almost been like Durant goes either burner account or now with his own Twitter or Instagram account, he goes back at people left and right because it's almost like, for a guy that's the second best player in the NBA, second best player of his generation, he's so damn insecure.
Yeah, he needs to stay off Twitter, just like the president. But like I said, that's just a different argument. But let's get into Chris Sims thing. Drew Brees, 16. Come on, he's a top five. He's a top three. That's a slap in his face. And he dropped that one day. Don't tell me he didn't put him there because of his comments a couple weeks ago.
Well, KJ, but he put Drew Brees at 16 before that, though.
I thought he dropped that on Monday on the 15th.
No. Brady and Brees came out before that. The latest today was the 6 through 10. And so the reason I brought it up today is because I don't know how you have Cam Newton at number 10. The guy doesn't even have a team yet. He's got Brees and Brady behind him.
Right. And he hasn't even, that guy has, and Big Ben at 14. Both of those guys have not played full seasons in what, 2 or 3 years?
Right. And Matt Stafford just went down with like a broken back. Carson Wentz is always hurt. I don't know how you put these guys in front of Brees and Brady, especially Brees had a 116 quarterback rating and completed 74% of his passes last year, broke the record for completion percentage. Yet Cam Newton coming off foot surgery is going to be better next year.
And like you said, and he's unemployed. Brees is phenomenal, and he's just, you know, he's the top three quarterback right now, not all time, like right now. But and Jimmy G at 20, he's top 10, top 15. He needs to be higher than that.
Yeah, and look, and I'm not the biggest Jimmy G guy, but some of the guys on this list that are ahead of Jimmy G, come on, you got to be kidding me. Kyler Murray after 1 year, I'm not disputing that Kyler Murray may be good in the future, but he didn't really show much last year.
No, he struggled. Josh Allen.
Oh, yeah, Josh Allen's terrible.
Maybe 25, 24, but no, he's not a top 20 quarterback. Yeah. Philip Rivers was awful last year.
He's got Rivers ahead of Jimmy G.
I know. That's what I'm saying. He has him at 17.
Yeah, Rivers ahead. And KJ, appreciate the call. His line's open, by the way. KJ, appreciate the call. So the thing about Philip Rivers, you realize he had more interceptions than anybody in the NFL besides Jameis Winston. And he has Philip Rivers ahead of Jimmy Garoppolo. And Jimmy Garoppolo, yeah, he missed a couple of throws in the Super Bowl, but he still had a pretty damn good season. And to have Philip Rivers ahead of Jimmy Garoppolo, the list is horrible. He's got Jarrett Stidham at 35, which, okay, that kind of makes sense. But then he compares him to Tony Romo and says his game has no weaknesses. Well, if his game has no weaknesses and he reminds you of Tony Romo, he should be ranked higher than 35. It doesn't make any sense. The list is an absolute joke. 617-779-7937 is the number. If you want to weigh in on the Kendrick Perkins, Kevin Durant beef, certainly welcome to do so. We'll continue to talk about the issues in Major League Baseball. And I do want to get to one take that Paul Feinbaum had today that was even crazy for him. We'll get to that next right here on WEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
All right, Brian Barrett with you up until midnight. If you want to hop on board, the number to do so is 617-779-7937. I have one of the TVs in the studio here on ESPN, and they're showing like a commercial for this new movie with Kevin Bacon in it, scary movie. Why do you show that at 11:50 at night? I can't stand scary movies. I can't, and I can't hear the audio, obviously, but I can't stand scary movies. I don't understand scary movies, why people want to go somewhere or go to the movies or watch at home to be scared. It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know why anybody likes scary movies. I'll never comprehend that. I really won't. 617-779-7937, the number. Anyway, sorry, I got sidetracked there. Bad job by me. But I want to get back to these comments that Paul Feinbaum made today. So Paul Feinbaum, the voice of the SEC, the SEC Network, he was on with Dan Patrick, and he said this today: can we trust college coaches to even be honest about these tests once we get to the season? You talk about getting ready for the Michigan-Ohio State game, the Alabama-Auburn game, the Georgia-Florida game. Are coaches going to say, oh, I'm sorry my star player tested positive, I'm going to quarantine him in the offensive line? College football is ripe with lying and cheating and fraudulence and deception, and I don't think this would be any different. Wow. So you have Paul Feinbaum say he's not going to put it past college coaches to play guys that have tested positive for the coronavirus. That's a hot take even for Paul Feinbaum. Just to accuse guys that they're going to play players that have tested positive for the coronavirus. Now, in my mind, that's going to be an awfully difficult proposition if you're a coach, because that means you can get fired for cause. If you play a player with the coronavirus, he plays, and then a bunch of other players after the game test positive for the coronavirus, or in the coming week test positive for the coronavirus, you know what's going to happen. In the world we live in today, it's easily going to come out that the coach played a player knowing that he tested positive for the coronavirus. I understand there's a lot of cheating that goes on in college football. There's a lot of scandals that go on in college football. But man, to play a player knowing that he has the coronavirus, man, that's an awfully difficult thing for me to see happening now. It really is. To see a coach knowing his player has tested positive, to actually put him on the field, risking other players getting infected, you're getting yourself into serious trouble. You can get fired for cause when it comes to that. By the way, this is from the LA Times today. 30 UCLA football players united in support behind a document they believe will protect them in their upcoming return to campus amid the COVID-19 pandemic. The players, get this, do not trust UCLA. So to Feinbaum's point, maybe he's on to something. The players do not trust UCLA to act in their best interest, particularly in regard to their health, a realm where it says the school has perpetually failed us, citing neglected and mismanaged injury cases. So what the UCLA players are saying, well, they've mishandled injuries before. How would this be any different? The document goes on to say, the players, or I should say from the LA Times' article, the players are demanding a third-party health official be on hand for all football activities to see that protocols for COVID-19 prevention are being followed and that anonymous whistleblower protections are provided for athletes and staff to report violations. Now, quite frankly, from my perspective, I believe it's a good idea to have a third-party health official to be on hand anyway, because you know that the interest of that person is not, oh, let's make sure we get this guy back onto the football field. No, he's being paid to make sure he does the best thing for the players. And basically, a university bringing in a third party can only help them. It can only help them and make them look better in terms of, oh, we're really caring more so about the student athletes. It can only look good for a university, but clearly, this is not a good look for Chip Kelly. And I know that they had a player come out and say, hey, this is not about Chip Kelly. We just want to make sure we're protected. But it doesn't look good for Chip Kelly. You have his players signing this document to say, hey, injuries have not been handled well in the past. We're going to look out for this one. By the way, I was thinking about this, and I know this is kind of mean to do, but from what Feinbaum was saying, if there was a coach that was going to play a player that had tested positive for the coronavirus, who do you think it would be? 617-779-7937. So I came up with kind of basically criteria for what the coach would have to do. So these are my two categories that I would say. In order for a coach to play a player, I got to do better at that. To put a player in the game with coronavirus, right? Play a player. Hey, come on. Okay. So this is the criteria. One, you're desperate. You need a big season, right? There's desperation. Like in Dabo Sweeney, and I know he's come under some scrutiny over the past couple of weeks, but Dabo Sweeney, Nick Saban, they're not doing it. There's no pressure with those guys. They have more tenure than anybody out there. Nick Saban's going to stop coaching when he wants to stop coaching, right? So he's not risking this. Dabo Sweeney, he's got one of the better jobs in college football. He's winning national championships left and right. He's playing in the playoff. He's playing in the playoff every year. He's not risking it, right? So it's got to be a coach that is desperate for a big season. Meaning, hey, if I don't have a bounce back season, considering what I did in 2019, I could be fired. And then the second category that I put into this, or the second criteria, you got to be a nut job. So you got to be crazy and you have to be desperate. Those are the requirements in order for a coach to basically play a player with coronavirus. So I came up with a couple of names. The first one is Jimbo Fisher, but then I thought to myself, well, he signed that $70 million contract. They're not going to fire him and buy him out. It's too early for Jimbo Fisher, even though he hasn't been the success at Texas A&M that they hoped for when they gave him that bag of money, which, again, completely overpaid the guy. But nonetheless, getting back to the original point. So I counted Jimbo Fisher off the list. So next guy on my list, Will Muschamp at South Carolina. This is his last chance. This is a guy that had one of the premier jobs in college football at Florida, had an outstanding first season there, then he failed. A couple of years later, they fired him. And now he's at South Carolina. He's 26 and 25 overall, which is not very good for South Carolina, especially considering what's going on at the other school in South Carolina, Clemson, where they play in the college football playoff every year. They have some of the best recruiting classes in the country. And they win national championships. For you to be at South Carolina and be 26 and 25, kind of unacceptable. His record last year, 4-8. So that's what I came up with. If there is going to be a coach in college football that decides, I'm okay with playing a player with the coronavirus because kind of need to keep my job, my nominee is Will Muschamp. What do you think of that nominee, Bridget? Will Muschamp, you think he's crazy enough to do it?
I really hope no one's crazy enough to do it.
Me neither, but you got to think about somebody. Paul Feinbaum's the one, the voice of the SEC, is the one pointing out there. I don't think anybody would either, because then you're just setting yourself up to be fired for cause. That's the scary thing. You'd be getting yourself fired for cause. And to put other players at risk, you're talking about a lawsuit. Knowing that a player has a coronavirus, to put him on the field, you're flirting with a lawsuit there. Let's get to Sean. He's in Idaho. What's up, Sean?
Oh, yeah, hello, and good evening there, Brian. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm going to just say that today would have been the best day to cancel Major League Baseball. There's been breaking news, of course, with spring training facilities already closing. Why even vote tomorrow on it if you're the players? I mean, I think it's going to fall through. Baseball needs to shut down. I've been saying it time after time. I've been talking with people on Twitter about it, and I've seen a lot of people, Brian, on Twitter that have said they do not want to have a season because people have given up hope. I mean, there's just no optimism for Major League Baseball this year, Brian.
Yeah, You may be right, Sean. I appreciate the phone call. You may be right. Not a lot of optimism going forward. Although, I believe that we're going to have at least a deal agreed on at some point, or Rob Manfred unilaterally just saying, hey, we're going to play 48 games, whatever the case may be, whatever that number is that he can come up with. But now, the reason I'm pessimistic is, look, the negotiations have been an absolute joke. Neither side looks good when it comes to this. They both look horrible. But now, after all the news with the coronavirus today, what is Major League Baseball going to do? It seems like it's going to be awfully difficult for me to envision a season where teams are traveling to everybody's home ballpark. I just don't see that happening right now. So are they going to do, like what the NBA is doing, a bubble city? And would that be in Southern California, like the Wall Street Journal reported tonight? But here's my thing about that. You guys can't even agree on money. You think that the Players Association in Major League Baseball and the owners in that sport are going to somehow come up with an idea for a bubble city after everything that has transpired over the past, what, 2 months trying to come to an agreement?
It's just a disaster.
It's a good point by Rob Manfred. It is a disaster, Rob. So somehow those two sides are going to come to an agreement. Okay, we're cool on the games now. And, oh, yeah, we're going to play in a bubble city. I just cannot see the Players Association agreeing to that. What a mess it is in Major League Baseball. All right, thanks to Bridget and Will for producing tonight. Have a great night, everybody. I'll be back with you on Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m. Have a great night, everybody. Be safe and be well, and happy Father's Day. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.